Lecture topic, suspicions, spying and backbiting.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إن الله تواب رحيم صدق الله العظيم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, just see if you can still make a little bit more place, inshallah. If there's any gaps, just try to just accommodate those who are coming, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala has given us this little chance in dunya to make our everlasting life of akhirat. This is Allah Ta'ala's very, very great bounty. If a person is offered to do some extremely hard labor for a few days, but the salary that he'll get for that few days of extremely hard labor will be what others, or maybe he could also not earn in maybe years. So he would be very thrilled about it, extremely happy to undertake it, that for a few days of very hard effort and hard labor, he will get the salary that cannot be earned in years. But that salary that will be 20 times the amount, 50 times the amount, maybe 100 times the amount, that too sooner or later will perish. That too sooner or later will get exhausted. And on the other side is what Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, this short life in dunya. But if this short life in dunya is spent correctly, in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, then the reward of this is the everlasting bounty of akhirat. For the short life of dunya, the everlasting ni'mats of jannat, the never-ending enjoyment and pleasures of Jannat. So this is beyond what we can ever imagine. And this is the great fazal and karam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that a little bit of effort from this insan, and hard labor doesn't apply here at all. Ad-deenu yusrun. Allah Ta'ala has made deen very easy. 24 hours, only 5 daily salah. Whereas when the salah was initially made farz, it was 50. But Allah Ta'ala, out of His grace, before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even reached dunya, after Mi'raj, already it was brought down to 5. But the reward remained for 50. ذَلِكَ خَمْسُ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he descended to dunya, he was told it's 5, but the reward is 50. So the whole day, but 5 daily salah. The entire year, 12 months, but only 1 month of fasting. The person, whatever wealth he has been blessed with, but only 2.5% of zakatable wealth. That's not everything that he is liable for zakat on. Certain aspects are zakatable, of that also 2.5%. And the other 97.5%, there's no obligation on it. And likewise, the list of what is haram is limited. And the rest of it Allah has made halal. So deenu yusrun, deen is very simple, very easy. Allah Ta'ala has made deen very, very easy. Yes, if somebody makes it difficult for himself, then it becomes difficult. Like a person makes even the simplest of things easier, difficult for himself, then he finds it very difficult. But otherwise in itself, it's very easy. So Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this very great opportunity. This short time in dunya is a very great opportunity to earn the everlasting bounties of akhirat. But now who's going to work for that? The person who has his focus on that everlasting akhirat. That this is a short transit lounge that we are in, short period of time in this transit lounge. We're headed towards this everlasting hereafter. We have to prepare for that. So now this is the person who has his focus on that everlasting life, understands that this is a very, very short phase. And who could have had this ma'rifat greater than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Obviously his ma'rifat, the rest of the ummah put together can't reach one fraction of it. But that ma'rifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and those realities that were in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would make him spend lengthy nights in ibadat of Allah ta'ala, such lengthy rakats of salah that his mubarak feet would swell and engrossed in the ibadat of Allah ta'ala, and then in the day deeply engrossed in bringing the servants of Allah ta'ala to Allah ta'ala, and in that field of da'wat and bringing people to Allah ta'ala, whatever sacrifices had to be made, whatever difficulties had to be undertaken, whatever hardship had to be borne, everything was part of the process. There was nothing that could deter him, because his focus was on Allah ta'ala, focus was on the akhirat, focus was on the destination and goal. So all these things became very trivial to undertake. It was small, hardly, it meant nothing, because the goal was very great. So unfortunately, when that goal changes, if the goal becomes dunya, then everything will change. If the goal remains where it is, the goal is akhirat, the goal is gaining Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, the goal is gaining His nearness, His qurb, then everything will go accordingly. But if that goal becomes dunya, the goal becomes the leisure and pleasure of dunya, the goal becomes the name and fame of dunya, the position of dunya, and all the things that go along as people of dunya pursue, then everything is going to go in a different direction. Then for that dunya, because that has become the goal, then deen will get sacrificed. Salah will get sacrificed. The truth will get sacrificed. The truth will be very easy to sacrifice, and lying will become the norm. And then it won't matter what lurks in the heart, because the issue is what is in the hand. So what is in the heart doesn't matter to such a person. It's what's in the hand, meaning the dunya, the material. What a person can gloat over, I own this, I possess this, or how much more I can get of it. So when the person, his whole entire focus is what's in the hands, in terms of the material of dunya, then where he's going to pay attention to what is in the heart? And whereas on the day of Qiyamah, that is of the most important aspect, what is in the heart. Not what's in the hand. What is in the hand will get left behind. Person won't take it along. It's what's in the heart. So this is what a person who has his focus on akhirat, this is what his primary focus will be. What's in the heart. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَلَاكِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala does not look at your, what is your apparent and outward, somebody's color, somebody's apparent position and status, and what is somebody's outward situation. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at that. He looks at his heart and his a'mal. So the person who has his focus in this regard, everything that will be beneficial to him in his akhirat, that will be the primary concern. And Allah's grace, that what he will make efforts for his akhirat, the barakat of that will come in dunya also. He'll be striving for his akhirat, but the barakat of that will come in dunya. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah's promise in the Quran Sharif, that whoever does righteous actions, male or female, and he has iman and amal salihah, iman and amal salihah. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, this is, whereas the foundation is iman, but in this ayat, amal salih is mentioned first. to highlight that look, iman is the foundation, but without amal-e-salih, then neither can we dream about the barakat and the hayat-e tayyiba in dunya. And even the direct entry into Jannat is not promised on that iman alone. Iman is the ticket to Jannat. But with iman, there must be amal-e-salih to get directly to Jannat, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. The iman is there, but the amal-e-salih is missing. Allah forbid, he could go through a very, very long process of cleansing. Allah is highlighting this. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ God will grant him حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا, a good life. But our mind, when we hear the word good life, goes towards only material things. But the good life is really in the heart. Who could have had a better life than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That if anybody has any doubt in it that his was the best life, if he has any doubt in it, then he has to check his iman. Being the closest to Allah Ta'ala, undoubtedly he had the best life. But did that mean that he didn't tie stones to his belly out of hunger? He tied stones to his belly out of hunger. But despite that, he had the best life. Did it mean that he never experienced any pain, any difficulty? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself declared, لَقَدْ أُذِيتُ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَا يُؤْذَى أَحَدٌ. I was given that extent of difficulty that nobody had to bear. But despite that, he had the best life. Because the best life is inside the heart. And when that heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala, despite this insan experiencing what other human beings feel, that emotions, that pain, that grief, the sickness, and whatever other conditions that other human beings also experience in dunya, he also experiences. He's insan. But despite that, his heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala, and that connection becomes a balm over all this pain. All these anxieties, the problems, whatever other experiences that he has to go through, that becomes the balm over it. But that heart is connected to Allah Ta'ala at every moment. And therefore, he is content with that. So in any case, the person whose focus is towards akhirat, he will be concerned about what's going to benefit him there. And he'll be extremely concerned also about saving himself from anything that will harm his akhirat. And the issue is, those things that harm akhirat, the effect of that already starts in dunya. It starts harming dunya also. But doesn't mean if it's harming dunya, it'll only be seen in a manner of loss of material things. That may happen sometimes, Allah forbid, that can happen even on a, without being in a negative manner, that can happen as a test also. But when there's the negative consequences come as a result of a person harming his akhirat, it starts off with the negative consequences affecting his heart. His heart becomes affected first. And despite everything of the dunya sometimes being available, but the heart is in complete restlessness. There's no peace. There's complete restlessness in that heart. Person is trying anything and everything to appease that heart, to make it feel little but comfortable. But that heart, there's no comfort in it at all, despite every comfort being available. So this is the aspect that happens as a result of the consequences of negative things that a person now harms his akhirat. The effects start in dunya already, on the heart. So this is the most important thing, that to be conscious about what is going to benefit us in the akhirat, and to save ourselves from what is going to harm us. So this amal-e-salih, where Allah Ta'ala promises, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, this has two dimensions. One is doing what is required of us, faraiz, wajibat, etc. And also saving oneself from every disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, that is part of amal-e-salih. Whatever Allah is forbidden, what Allah is displeased with, to save oneself from that. So in the Quran Sharif, there's numerous ayat that highlight all the do's and also highlight the don'ts. And among the ayat that highlight one very serious matter and several serious matters that harm our akhirat and even harm our dunya before the akhirat is mentioned in this ayat of Surah Al-Hujurat that was recited at the beginning. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan. Inna ba'da al-dhanni ithm. O you who believe, refrain from much suspicions, from thoughts, ill thoughts. Because some thoughts are sin. This aspect of su'ul dhan, badgumani, harboring ill thoughts, baseless suspicions. This is taken for granted. Person made some judgment in his mind about somebody because of some thought. He saw something which his mind made some conclusion out of it, and that conclusion now became a fact in his mind, whereas there is no reality to it externally. But he is now running on that. Now that thought now moves him towards words, because he's now taking this as fact within himself. So now he starts making ghibat of the person. He starts making accusations, false accusations, starts making bohtan. And then it starts bringing him to action. He starts doing things against the person. All this started off from what? The thought. And Allah Ta'ala is warning us about this in the Quran Sharif. Many times this has been discussed, that the Quran Sharif is a very comprehensive and concise book of usul, of principles. And the details and the explanation is in the Hadith Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained those details. But yet we find in the Quran Sharif finer points of mu'asharat, social life. Surah Al-Hujurat is all about the social system that has to be upheld for the maintaining of order, maintaining of peace, maintaining of unity and brotherhood, maintaining of that mahabba and love between people, maintaining that good relationship. Surah Al-Hujurat deals with all the issues that are extremely necessary to maintain this. And when this is not maintained, the opposite starts coming into place, then everything will be shattered. Among them, Allah is warning us in this. The second ruku, this ayat comes, that look, this is the negative side of things, beware of it. اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِ. Beware of these suspicions. Once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid in i'tikaf, and Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha came to see him for some, whatever necessity might have been there. So when she was done, it was late at night, so he walked her to the door of the masjid, where the boundary of the masjid was. And as she was now still there, two Ansari Sahaba passed by. So as soon as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them passing, he said to them, hold on, listen, this is Safiya, it is my wife Safiya. So they immediately realized what is being said, so they were a shock. And they expressed this, that can we ever think anything negative about yourself or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because harboring any kind of ill thought or suspicion against a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala would be kufr. So can we ever entertain any negative thought? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that inna shaitana yajri fi ahadikum majrad dam. Shaitan runs within you like the blood flows in your veins, meaning the blood flows at every portion of the body, there's blood flowing. Likewise, shaitan runs through you in that manner, through your heart, through your mind. And therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, فَخَشِيْتُ. I was afraid, I feared that he might just whisper something in your heart. Now one is a whisper, if a person just ignored it, just rejected it, it can't harm him, no matter what comes in his heart. It's involuntary. And he didn't give it space, he didn't pay attention to it, he ignored it, he rejected it, it's gone, that's the end of it. It can't harm him in any way. But if he entertained it, then that gets, starts picking up momentum. It started off with just a thought, and then gradually it started becoming like an established fact in his mind, whereas there is no reality to it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his compassion. This was his compassion that he's taking care of his sahaba, that they must not get harmed in any way. Protecting their thoughts, protecting their hearts, protecting their minds by the advice that he gave. That look, understood that you're not going to deliberately ever think of anything in that manner. But shaitan can still whisper something. So I'm just cautioning you that you already have the ready answer to shaitan if he ever dares whisper something in your heart and mind, that this is the answer to it. This is the reality. But the lesson in all this, one lesson is that to what extent shaitan will keep trying to whisper all kinds of things against people. Because that's shaitan's job. Shaitan's job is to try and always create some turmoil. To try and shatter the peace wherever it is. Not to allow any good to prevail. This is shaitan's full-time job. In the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned, in Mishkat Sharif is a riwayat, that Iblis, he puts his throne out on the ocean. And then he calls all the smaller shayateen to come and give a report back. What did they do? Now obviously, what are the job they have? The entire job and their whole purpose in life only is to just try to deviate people, harm people, cause them problems. So one smaller shaitan comes and he gives a report back that I made so and so steal. So for shaitan, for Iblis, that wasn't a great achievement. He says, okay, nothing much. Somebody else says, I made so and so miss his salah. What a serious problem. But Iblis says, okay, nothing so great. Whereas it's a very serious matter. The Hadith Sharif, it is mentioned, person misses one salah. Deliberately missed one salah. فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ. It's like he lost all, the loss that has been incurred is like a person, all his family members, everything that he possesses, all got destroyed at one go. Allah save us. But shaitan and Iblis says, from his perspective, nothing much. And this carries on until one fellow comes and he says, I created discord between spouses. I created a problem and discord between spouses. And then this built up and escalated and the fight got bigger and the problem got worse until finally now they have divorced. And when he gives this update and this feedback that this is his work that he has done, so Iblis stands up and embraces him. And he says, you have done something. You have done something. Meaning you really, this is an achievement. Because this is not where you'll stop. This is where it starts. This is only the start now. And what not will happen as a result of whatever has happened. And where things will finish off. And Allah forbid if it finishes off, if it, where it will finish off. So the issue is that this is shaitan's full-time job. And often this also starts off from the same starting point, that suspicion. Plants a suspicion. Then that suspicion grows. And now in that suspicion, somebody blurted something. And somebody then retorted. And then the argument starts. And that became a bigger fight. And then others in the family got involved. And from where to where it finished off. But it started off from that suspicion, baseless thought. There's one incident mentioned in the kitabs about in the previous times. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions many such incidents. So this person, one was selling a slave. Those days was still slavery. He was selling a slave. So somebody came to, well, heard the price. He said, well, very cheap. So he came to now negotiate and buy the slave. So the person said to him who was selling the slave, look, this fellow can do his work very well. Everything is very good about him. But he has one very bad habit of carrying tales. Now this was a very detrimental aspect in this person's life, at which the seller made it very clear. Look, you're buying him, know what you're buying. Because this is an extremely important thing, that the barakat will come when a person is honest. فَإِنْ صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when the buyer and seller both are honest and both are transparent, there's no deception of any level. No deception. Sometimes that deception is very subtle. It's so subtle that the person deceiving also gets deceived into believing it's not deception. Person who's perpetrating the deception, it's so subtle that he also gets deceived into believing that this is not deception. But now that's something to check. Find out from the ulama ikram, double check, what I'm doing, is it above board, is it clear? Because it might be a quick, as they say, make a quick buck. But Allah forbid, if that is, there's deception involved, then the barakat is destroyed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi further says, فَإِن كَتَمَا if they, فَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا if there's some lying involved, they're hiding the defect somewhere, either party is hiding something, then مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا then the barakat of that transaction has been totally destroyed. Now there'll be numbers, but no barakat in it. And when there's no barakat in it, the bigger number, the bigger the problem. When there's no barakat in it, the bigger the number, the bigger the problem. Barakat is what's to be pursued. So in any case, this starts off from this suspicion. So now the slave, the person was selling the slave, so he declared clearly what is the problem, that look, this person has this. So the buyer, okay, that's not a big issue, let it be. So in any case, he brought the slave and came. Now this person carrying tails was also, then it starts becoming something beyond that. If there's not, no tails to carry, then he'll make up tails, fabricate something. So now he started this fabrication of his. So one day he's saying to the wife of this person, that you're not aware of what's going on, or this fabrication. You're not aware of what's going on. I know this from a very long time. I can see a person's face, and I can tell you something is not on. It looks like your husband is interested somewhere else. Now he's got no idea of anything, but he just dropped this one line. And now this suspicion came in her heart. This suspicion came in her heart that there must be something wrong here. And when suspicion comes, so now it starts making a person look at everything negatively. When the suspicion comes in the heart, then it is like that dirt on the window. One person, he moved into a house, so now he's looking at who's next door. So now next door he saw the neighbor's children playing outside. So now he's looking at the neighbor's children and he's saying, hey, these children, neighbors can't even care for their children. They're running around so dirty. Then he saw the clothes on the line hanging there. He says, what kind of washing they did to this? After washing, it's still so dirty. So the children were dirty, the clothes were dirty, then everything is looking dirty to him. So the next day, his wife went from outside and she cleaned the window. So when he came back, he said, now it seemed like they realized what's going on. Now today the children are looking clean. And today everything is looking clean. But the dirt was on his side. All the dirt was on his side. So as a result, everything out there was looking dirty to him. And this becomes the effect of the baseless suspicions. Person starts looking at everything negatively. And even the most innocent things then start becoming a problem for him, because he's looking at it with that dirty eye, with that dirty mind, with that dirt in his heart. So now everything starts looking dirty to him. So in any case, now he dropped the suspicion. Now her mind is running, everything now, the most innocent things are just adding fuel to the fire now. No, this probably is because of the same thing. This too, why he didn't show me that kind of attention today, probably his mind is stuck somewhere else. Whereas that day his mind was just occupied or whatever. So as this went on, so one day he said to her, okay, you see, the way to now turn his heart back to you, I have some amal, some ta'weez for this. But for the ta'weez to be effective, you have to get some hair from under his beard. But now, if you're going to try to tell him, he's going to catch up what's going on, you just get the hair while he's fast asleep. While he's fast asleep, you go and cut a few strands of hair from under his beard. So she got ready to do this. But then he, before that night, he says to the husband, see, your wife doesn't seem right. It seems she has some agenda. And you must rather be very careful, because you don't know what might happen. One night she might just do something to you. So now this person became very suspicious about his wife now. So he's sleeping, so to say, with one eye open. And now late at night, he sees her coming close to him with a blade towards his throat. She's coming to take the stands of hair for the so-called taweez. Because taweez of all kinds, yeah, those taweez which are complete fraud, deception, people who have no idea of anything to do with how to treat anybody or anything, but they fleece people who out of desperation are ready to just give any amounts. And in the desperation, they believe anything, accept anything, and Allah forbid, what not happens. So in any case, when he saw her approaching, he just pounced on her and killed her. When he killed her, then long story short, eventually they took his life. Now all this started off from where? One was the wrong of this person, the slave, who had this terrible habit. But that one wrong, it put that suspicion in the heart. Those words which were from nowhere. Now this was a very dramatic example. Very often this happens in day-to-day life. Somebody just said something, we have no idea what's the reality of it. Just somebody said something and khalas, we took it and ran with it. And now we're already negative about somebody, negative about everything about him, and we're passing judgment in our mind, whereas there is no authentic basis for it. One is there's some authentic basis for that. Nothing. It's just somebody said something. We just heard something. And now we start making judgment on that. We start speaking in a manner about it. We start taking action on that basis. And one thing leads to another. And Allah forbid, what not happens. Homes break up. Families break up. Friendships break up. We started off from this. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is warning us about. That it will harm the akhirah terribly. It will even harm a person's dunya very seriously. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. And then further Allah says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And don't start spying on one another. Because this evil thoughts, this ill thoughts, this is what it will then take a person towards. It'll start making a person wanting to now spy, to try to dig out something, to see what's going on. And now what's going on, he's spying, which is itself a sin. Because he's got no basis for this. So now one thing leads to another, tajassus. And then he's so sure about it in his mind, he's making ghibat. Ghibat is taken to be a very light thing. Don't give it a second thought. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, very great tabi'i, he had the company of 30 Sahaba-e-Kiram, among the greatest of the Tabi'een. Once somebody asked him about, the person was sick, so he probably asked for some advice or whatever. So he said, go and see so-and-so. That person, he's quite good in his treatment. So now he said, go and see so-and-so. He's quite good in, he knows the field quite well. And then he said to him, no, you know what, not to him, go to this other person, that person is better. After having said it, he said, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Now those whose heart, their focus is on the heart, they're conscious about the heart, like a person is conscious about his material things, so now the slightest dust on that magrums, he wants to shine it again. He notices every small little something out of place in terms of his dunya, immediately it catches his eye. So likewise, those who are focused on their hearts, the slightest thing already, it catches their eye, their attention. So, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. So I made ghibat of him. How you made ghibat of him? He says, ghibat is, dhikruka akhaka bima yakra. To mention something about your fellow Muslim, which he will dislike. Now the first person who I mentioned about, that go to him, he is good, but then afterwards I said, no, the other person is better. So now if the first person had to be sitting here, and if he heard that, would he feel good about it? That now he first took my name, then he says, no, leave the salah aside, go to the other person, he's better. Now this is on a very high level, he declared that as a problem for himself, that I've made ghibat, must make istighfar from this. So now one is this very, very high level of caution. What about the blatant ghibat we get involved in? And now it starts off often from just these thoughts, just as random, just run with things. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't make ghibat of one another. Then further Allah says, to highlight the harm of this ghibat, that does any one of you love, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Does anyone like that he to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Now this is meant to evoke a very, very abhorrent feeling in the heart, because nobody can ever want to do such a thing. Nobody can ever wish to eat the dead flesh of somebody. It just creates a nauseating feeling. The nauseating feeling is what is meant to be created. This is how abhorrent ghibat is. This is how abhorrent ghibat is, but is taken as pastime. The ghibat is just a pastime. And we must make some muhasabah. We must take an account of our conversation sometimes, that what is the, how far we get, how deep we get into the ghibat. We start off and there's no end to it, and before we know it, Allah knows best how much ghibat we've made, how many people we have spoken ill of, and there's always some ta'wil, some way to explain it away. Actually this is fine and that is fine, this is reality, that is something, some way or the other to make some excuse for ourselves, to try and make ourselves feel fine about it. But Allah forbid, on the day of Qiyamah, if it wasn't fine, we are in big trouble. Then all our good deeds are going to be passed on to those people we are making excuses to make their ghibat of. So we rather be on the safe side of things and save our good deeds. So this is Allah Ta'ala warning us about, that look, it starts off from here, but where it goes on to, it goes to tajassus and spying, and then into ghibat. So all these are major problems. Starting off from that, harboring those suspicions. One is that suspicion, not to harbor it, but just one other lesson in that as well, not to put oneself in a situation of suspicion, unnecessarily, not to invite suspicion. In one hadith sharif, it is mentioned, if a person puts himself in a situation of suspicion, he went to a place which is not in a place to be there, and now if people start rebuking him, then he should rebuke none but himself. If people start harboring some ill feelings about him, that's wrong. But he should rebuke himself, because he brought it upon himself. This is a, is not a hadith in itself, it is the crux of the hadith sharif. Ittaqu mawadi'at tuham. That avoid places of suspicion, avoid occasions of suspicion. Don't do something that will invite suspicion. Now the person all the time, he's hanging onto his phone like dear life, locked on passwords upon passwords, and dare anybody touch it, and worst of all if his wife comes near it. So now what is he up to? What is going to run through the mind? That, but why is this the case? Why is this always just kept away from me? I'm not supposed to touch it. And there's one excuse after the other made about it, that no, it's some work matters and whatever, but work matters and everything doesn't justify what is going on, how the person is conducting himself. Now he's inviting that suspicion. So the suspicion is wrong, but he is causing, inviting the problem. And when the problem finally breaks onto him, then he would be responsible for it as well. So Allah Ta'ala is giving us this caution, that وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. What is the solution? The solution Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Fear Allah Ta'ala, adopt taqwa. To the extent that taqwa is adopted, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is there, person is conscious that I can hide from people but can't hide from Allah Ta'ala. Allah is aware of what's in my heart. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. That is the muraqabah and muhasabah we have to keep making. Keep checking within ourselves. And keep bringing this into our hearts. Allah is aware. Allah knows. I can hide from people, but I can't hide from Allah Ta'ala. But this develops in the heart. A person doesn't need any passwords to hide anything. Person doesn't need to live a double life of any sort, because his life will be straightforward. His life will be clean. And everything around him will be in order. So this is the path to that peace in dunya already. But this is the also the prescription to get to the everlasting bounties of Jannah, together with obviously Iman and Amal Saliha. This is one of the highlights to get there safely. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and dua.
Beside the rotary. La ilaha إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم. يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعف وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. إله العالمين يا الله, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. إله العالمين يا الله, forgive us يا الله. يا الله, forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله. إله العالمين يا الله, يا الله, make us your true and obedient servants يا الله. إله العالمين يا الله, make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you shower your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Shower your maghfirat on the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, shower your rahmat on the ummah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and hardships of the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we acknowledge all this is due to our sins, Ya Allah. All these are our misdeeds, Ya Allah. It is our disobedience, Ya Allah. It was our blatant disobedience, Ya Allah. Our shamelessness, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, despite all your bounties, Ya Allah, countless ni'mats and bounties, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we still have been so blatantly disobedient, Ya Allah. So shamelessly disobedient, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, our shamelessness and our blatant disobedience has brought about the difficulties on the ummah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we acknowledge this, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, we beg your forgiveness, Ya Allah. We beg your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever we are, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are your servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are your sinful servants, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, you have declared in your Quran Sharif, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That say, O my servants who have transgressed their souls, do not become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Ya Allah, we turning to you for the same mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Shower your mercy on the ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove all the difficulties and hardships with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustamirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Those who are in any kind of difficulty and hardship, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant sukoon and itminan to the hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the anxiety, the worry, depression, sorrow, grief, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill the heart with sukoon and itminan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us to your pleasure at all times, Ya Allah. Guide us to your pleasure, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Make us among the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. Make us among the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us among the muhsineen, Ya Allah. Among the shakireen, Ya Allah. Among the dhakireen, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, every Muslim, Ya Allah, throughout the world, whoever is in any kind of difficulty and hardship, remove their difficulties, Ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, our brothers and sisters of Palestine, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you shower your special grace on them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect them, Ya Allah. You strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make Ya Allah strengthen the mujahideen, Ya Allah. Grant them victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, only you and you are alone the one who does, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you destroyed the army of Abraha, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you destroyed all those, Ya Allah, those tyrants that thought they had, Ya Allah, nobody could ever defeat them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you defeated them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg for your help, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the barrier is from our end, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have put forward the barriers through our sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah, Ya Allah. Send down your special help, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you guide us at every step, Ya Allah. Do not leave us to ourselves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if we are left to ourselves, we'll become the morsels of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with his beautiful mu'amalat and mu'asharat, Ya Allah. Bless us with some degree, some portion of the zeal of his ibadat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have made us raise their hands with this dua, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you fulfill each one's dire needs and pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all those who have passed away, Ya Allah, fill their qabars with noor, Ya Allah. Raise their stages in akhirat, Ya Allah. Grant them jannatul firdaus, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, at the time of our death, take us with la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, take us on iman kamil, Ya Allah. Take us on tawbat and nasuh, Ya Allah. Take us at a time you are pleased with us and we are pleased with you, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make our qabars gardens of Jannah for us, Ya Allah. Grant us the shafa'at of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all that we have asked for, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu أعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب